week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. On Wednesday's show, we'll hear from two world champions from the United States, one a male swimmer, and the other a female triathlete. Ladies first, Dan Friedel contacted an American athlete who won her first world triathlon title last year. Here's Dan.
We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Katie Zafiris, a veteran Olympian. She was in the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. She's a triathlete for the United States, and we reach her from her parents' home in the state of Maryland, close to where she grew up between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We've been talking to a lot of Olympic athletes on the show recently about how their timetable has changed now that the Olympics that were scheduled for this summer in Tokyo have been pushed back a year. Maybe you can let our audience know a little bit about your career and how things went for you in 2016 and what you were looking forward to in 2020.
Yeah, so for me, I grew up swimming and playing a little soccer or football, as other countries call it, and lacrosse. And ultimately, during my high school years, I ended up switching over to running and was pretty good at it. Ended up going to university for running. And while I was there, I got contacted by the USA Triathlon Collegiate Recruitment Program, which is a program that USA Triathlon has that recruits athletes who are running Division One but have a background in swimming. So basically that was me, and I got pretty lucky with timing that they found me and the program was really picking up speed, and they really helped me make a transition from, I've finished off my collegiate career in running, and then straight from there I would have gone to graduate school or started being a physical education teacher, which is what I got my degree in. But instead, I got an opportunity to go train at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, and I did that in 2012 and did my first professional race of triathlon in 2013. And since then, I've just kept climbing up the ranks, and ultimately in 2016, I went to the Olympics, and in last year in 2019, I ended up world champion. So it's definitely been a really cool journey and one that I've learned a lot about and has been really exciting and just pretty cool to think of all the amazing opportunities and experiences that I've had because of this sport. I mean, the 2016 Olympics for me was a bit disappointing. I had been on multiple podiums of the highest level of competition that triathlon has, which is the World Triathlon Series, and I had won my first race at the highest level, like the race before the Olympics, so I was going in feeling confident, and then I ended up finishing 18th at the Olympics and just pretty disappointed. And overall, I've been looking forward to Tokyo 2020 to kind of put into effect what I've learned since then and how I've grown as an athlete, both mentally and physically. So that's been a really big part of my last 4 years. So I was definitely excited to put that into play this fall. But obviously with how things are going, that timeline's now different. I don't necessarily think that's, I mean, it doesn't feel like there should be an Olympics right now to me. I was planning for it. I was at the beginning of this year, I was super optimistic, even with like the restrictions that were happening and everything that was going on. I still kind of had hope, like, okay, but if this ends by April, like we can still do the Olympics, like things can go back to normal. And now I see that's probably not the case. And so when they postponed it, like that felt like the right decision. It didn't feel like there should be an Olympics. It didn't feel like the world was ready. It didn't feel like the athletes would be ready, considering all the lack of racing, lack of training venues and everything like that.
Well, let me ask you about the training. Obviously, you can go out and run. We're talking with Katie Zafiris, a USA Olympian in the sport of triathlon. You can go out and run. You can go out and ride your bike. But from what we've heard, it was becoming increasingly more difficult for people to get access to the swimming pool.
Right. So right now I don't have access to any pool. And I would say all the athletes have different circumstances and situations with that. Like all the triathletes that I know, at least some have gotten like the pools you put up in your like driveway. And then other ones are at like single lane houses with like a single lane pool. But the place we are is where I grew up, and I kind of picked being comfortable and feeling safe over putting myself in a high performance environment. So I haven't swam for like, I guess it's been 2 weeks now, and I don't know when I'll be able to swim in the future. So I've been doing like stretch cords and band work with my husband's also a triathlete, and he was also a very high caliber swimmer who back in the day. So he's been giving me little band workouts with that. And also I've talked to my strength coach that I normally see when we live in California and asked for some supplementary exercises to do since I won't be in the pool. So, and I've been visualizing swimming to pretend that I'm in the water.
I suppose that's the best you can do. So Katie, why don't you tell some of our listeners about the adjustment for you going from being a college track and field athlete? What events did you do as a runner? What your swimming background was like? And I can imagine, though, that aside from maybe riding your bike for fun, you had to learn to be a serious cyclist. What was that like for you?
Yeah, for college, I did the 5K on the track, but really cross country was my favorite. And then my last 2 years of running, I learned about the 3K steeplechase on the track, and I really enjoyed that because to me it was like cross country. Nothing could be as good as cross country to me. So the 3K steeple was at least more interesting to me than just running around the track in circles with no barriers. Those were kind of my favorites, and I just really enjoyed my whole collegiate career being on the Syracuse University cross country and track team, and I still keep in touch with my coaches from then. I was just talking to my coach Chris Fox yesterday. It's pretty cool just the community that we had then and that still stands now. Swimming wise, like for sure my swimming background really helped with going into triathlon, and I hadn't swam basically at all during my collegiate career of running. So I just had to get back into the pool. But I had always grown up swimming and felt really comfortable in the water. So it took a little bit of time, but nothing that was too overwhelming for me to get back into swim shape for triathlon. And that's actually something now that kind of comforts me in thinking, well, I didn't swim for 5 years and I did okay in triathlon. So
yeah,
I should
point.
Be able to, hopefully we won't be out of the pool for 5 years now. So I feel like I'll be able to get back into it as soon as we're allowed. And then, yeah, with cycling, it was the most challenging for me in the technical sense because our courses are, so when we do our races, they're 1,600 meter swim, a 40K bike, and a 10K run for our Olympic distance races. So the bike circuits are typically 8 to 10 laps of within that 40K. So they're pretty technical, and that was the part that I struggled with. I was strong aerobically on the bike, but I didn't really know what I was doing tactically, and like I wasn't very confident with my skills on the bike. So over the past, since I've started, that's really been a focus of mine, and just learning how to corner well and knowing like gearing going in and out of turns and all those pretty technical pieces and really getting confident with that. So we've done a lot of things. Working with a sports psychologist has definitely helped me with that. But also, again, my husband comes into play here. I do a lot of training with him. He's very good technically on the bike, so he'll kind of help me with that. And I'll try and follow his wheels and on when we're going down descents. And another thing I've done and I started doing these past years was doing the local group rides in Santa Cruz, California. And that's been amazing because they're so good for like race simulation because they're very unpredictable. They have a lot of people, positioning is important and everything like that, that it really helps me to stay on top of my game and even get better.
We're talking on the Sunny Side of Sports with Katie Zafiris, a USA Olympian in the sport of triathlon. I do know that there is quite a good triathlon scene in South Africa. What's a good memory you have about an event that you competed in that part of the world?
When people ask what my favorite race is, it's actually Cape Town in South Africa, and we would always do a camp in Stellenbosch leading into the race, and I remember the food being amazing, the riding, and just like the backdrop of both Stellenbosch and Cape Town area just being so breathtaking. With for us, our race was right in the harbor, so our backdrop to the race was Tabletop Mountain, and then just being close to the waterfront. And I think it's, I'm going to forget the number on this, but it's like the 12 Apostles Mountain Range is just like one of my favorites too. So, and that race in general, I mean, I'm just talking about liking being there, but the race in general, because of that backdrop. And I also have some pretty good memories of how I ended up finishing there. So I finished second one of the years and was really happy with that.
We're talking with Katie Zafiris on the Sunny Side of Sports. And Katie, we'll let you go with this question. And, you know, you mentioned that when you were in college, you weren't swimming. And when you started getting into triathlon, the swimming came back to you pretty well. Hopefully you don't have to go 5 years between your competitive swimming events and opportunities. Now that the Olympics have been postponed a year, how is that going to affect you? Are you trying to kind of give yourself a little bit of a breather here and hit the reset button at some point later on in the summer? What's the way that you've blocked out your calendar for the next 15 months?
Yeah, it's a really unpredictable time right now. So it is really challenging to figure out what direction to take it. My coach has basically, we're back to basic aerobic type training just to kind of maintain a level of fitness through this time so that whenever racing does reinstate, that we'll be ready and I'll be ready to go. So that's really like the short-term plan. And then with the Olympics for next year and getting ready for that, I mean, I didn't really know after 2020 what I was going to do. My husband and I kind of started talking about having a family or continuing racing another year. We weren't really sure. So now that the Olympics are postponed until 2021, I have a lot more direction when it comes to what I'm doing for that year. So now I know exactly what I'm going to be doing for 2021, which is preparing for Tokyo 2021 and just getting ready for that. And I honestly think that the 2021 Olympics will be just an amazing way for the world to come together after overcoming all this with the coronavirus. And to me, it's going to be a spectacular way of like uniting after dealing with such things as this. So for me, that's the most positive way that we can do an Olympics. I mean, it's really what it's all about. So I'm excited for that because I think it's going to be super meaningful and I'm really hoping to be a part of it.
Katie, thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports, and we wish you a lot of luck in the next 15 months or so ahead of the Tokyo Games.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
That's world triathlon champion Katie Zafiris. And Katie spoke with Dan Friedel from her parents' home in Maryland, about 100 kilometers from our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. This Voice of America history note: Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English-language program. It was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with a feature on a world and Olympic champion swimmer and his training during the coronavirus pandemic. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. With the Tokyo Olympics set to begin in 2021, Olympians are now faced with the challenge of staying physically fit for another year and are forced to find creative alternatives on how to train during the coronavirus outbreak. American swimmer Caleb Dressel is a two-time Olympic gold medalist, 13 times world champion, and current world record holder in the men's 100-meter butterfly. And like thousands of athletes, he was focused on qualifying for a trip to Tokyo when news of the game's postponement broke. Last week, Dressel spoke from his home in the U.S. state of Florida about how he's had to adjust to the year-long delay. And he said he will do whatever it takes to be ready, even making the switch from water to land.
If the swimming pools get shut down, then I guess I'm going to get really good at running. There are ways around it to just keep that heart rate up. But for the most part, we're all in the same boat. But it is tough. I mean, of course, I would like to have my normal routine, but I don't have that. So what are the next steps to take? If I have to train in my living room, if they completely shut everything down, I can't leave the house, and I'm training in the living room. You know, like I said, it's a part of the puzzle. It's a part of the process. If I don't have something available, then we'll make do. So if I got to train in my living room, then I'll get ready.
Fortunately, Dressel is one of the few swimmers who has access to a pool, and he says he is still able to train and adhere to the practice of social distancing.
There is one pool open that's about 45 minutes away from me. And then I am fortunate enough to have my strength coach actually has all his equipment, all the needed equipment with the normal weight routine I'm on in his garage. So weights has been fine. My strength levels are fine, just maintaining the best I can. Don't want to fry myself at this moment, like I was saying, because the meet is so far along and kind of out of reach a little bit. But, you know, I have pool time Monday to Friday, 45 minutes away, only singles. But, you know, I'll drive further if I have to. I don't know. Again, it's just with uncertainties. I don't know how long that pool is going to be open. It's a small group. I'm not breaking any of the rules that we have in place here. It's a very small group that's going up there to train. We sign waivers before we get in the water of we're symptom free. We haven't been out of the state, all this stuff. So I'm taking the right steps for sure. I don't want to put anyone in harm's way just so I can get to a pool in Florida. But it has been tough. I miss swimming.
Dressel's contract with the International Swimming League is keeping him afloat financially during the crisis. ISL will provide monthly funding to all its contracted athletes through to next year's rescheduled games. And Dressel says the financial support gives him peace of mind in a time of uncertainty.
I don't know when my next swimming is going to be. I don't know when I'm going to be back in the pool I normally train at. I don't know when campus is going to open up again. There's uncertainties for everybody. I'm not the only one in this boat. I don't want to play the victim here at any part. I still have a job. Worst thing is my Olympics got canceled. Okay. I wasn't even on the Olympic team. Okay. So really the worst thing for me was U.S. Olympic trials got canceled. Okay. I wasn't even guaranteed a spot going to Tokyo. So it's fine. Not even canceled. It got postponed. So, okay. My meet's a year later. That's the worst thing that happened to me. So to be able to have through all this uncertainty, a meet that we know is going to happen, financial gains that are in place already through Constantine ISL, it's huge for everyone to have that fallback during a time like this and to have that support through ISL, which was so much fun last year. I mean, I enjoyed it. The new teammates I made, being a part of a whole new team that didn't exist before rather than a country, which is how typically all swimming competitions are set up, country versus country. So it's nice to have, you know, that unity, of course, within not just one country, but, you know, swimmers from all over the world to be able to fall back on that same plan that was put in place last year. And then to come up with that, whether it was plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, whatever from Constantine, and to have something in place that is for sure is tremendous. It's huge for us to have that support. It means so much because, you know, swimming is not the biggest sport in the world. I totally understand that. I don't really care. But to have someone who does care about us, it's massive.
ISL plans to get all its swimmers back in competition in late fall if the coronavirus is contained. Dressel competed last year in the ISL's inaugural season, but he says he hasn't yet committed to making a return.
There's so much uncertainty with sponsorships that I have at the moment, with where those are going to go, how those dates are going to pan out. So I like the idea. I love that Constantine's supporting us, but I don't know how far in advance what my schedule is going to be like, or what it's going to be like, or how the companies I'm involved with at the moment, what they're going to need from me within those months. So I like the idea, of course. I mean, I would love to compete in ISL. It was great last year, but I can't say 100% I'm doing this, because there's just so many uncertainties right now for everybody. But I mean, I like the idea of, you know, being together with everybody again, racing again. And it'd be pretty cool to have it, you know, in the same spot like that.
For now, Dressel has settled into a routine of keeping fit at home. And in response to requests on how to stay in shape during the pandemic, he posted a video targeting the abdominals, aptly named the quarantine workout. Meanwhile, now that the new Tokyo Olympic dates have been set, USA Swimming is finalizing the selection of dates for the U.S. Olympic team trials in 2021. Dressel is vying for another gold medal to add to the two he won at the Rio Games in 2016. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. South Sudan-born Luol Deng was recently named a global ambassador for the new Basketball Africa League, or BAL. Deng played 15 seasons in the NBA and earned All-Star honors in 2012 and 2013. As the BAL's global ambassador, Deng is promoting the new African League, which has postponed its inaugural season because of the coronavirus pandemic. Luol Deng has a special message about hand washing while we deal with the coronavirus crisis.
Hey, everyone. This is Luol Deng, the ambassador of Basketball Africa League. Now, washing your hands has always been important, but never been as more important as now. What I like to do is turn the tap on, get your head a little bit wet, turn the tap off. Put the soap in your hand. While the tap is off, start washing your hands. Make sure you get between your fingers, get your wrist, and get the other side of your hand, right? Keep washing your hand. Make sure your hand is as clean as it can be. We want to wash our hand for 20 to 30 seconds, right? Turn your tap back on. Make sure you wash your hands, get in your wrist, and get in your hand. Now, the most important part, when you finish washing your hands, make sure you turn the tap off with your elbow. After you turn the tap off, let your hands dry or use a paper towel. All right?
That's Luol Deng, the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador. The 12-team BAL was originally scheduled to tip off its maiden season on March 13th, but it's been postponed because of the coronavirus crisis. And let's send some early birthday greetings to Luol Deng, who will celebrate his 35th birthday on April 16th. Another former NBA player celebrating a birthday today, April 8th, is Terry Porter. Like Luol Deng, Terry Porter is a two-time NBA All-Star. He earned those All-Star honors as a point guard with the Portland Trail Blazers. Porter is celebrating his 57th birthday, and he's still based in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. Terry Porter is the head men's basketball coach at the University of Portland. And that wraps up the April 8th edition of the show. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.